Welcome to another episode of Million Dollar Stories, where we get to interview authors from all over the world. You know, I love talking to authors because they have the courage to take their thoughts, put it down on a piece of paper, and share it with the many, ultimately changing their legacy and destiny in the process. And if you're looking to write a book out there, check out Dreamstarters Publishing. We can help you out with wherever you're at in the process. And if you have a book, you want to use it to generate leads for your business, check out bookmarketingcrm.com. The book that we're talking about today is perfect for anybody who wants to elevate their leadership. I think that that is the quality that will serve you in any aspect, no matter where you're at. Leadership. If you can obtain a leadership skills, you will always have a job. You can always move the needle in other people's life, and you can make an impact. The book is called The Elevated Leader: Level Up Your Leadership Through Vertical Development. And the author is with us today, Ryan Gottfredson. Thanks so much for being here, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. And I couldn't agree with you more in the sense of, and I think any reader of the book, this isn't just a leadership book. It is a being book, right? It is elevating our being. And when we elevate our being, we carry that across all facets of our life. Like I apply the principles of leadership with my relationships with everybody, my wife, my children, my friends, my colleagues, right? So this isn't just leadership. It's elevating who we are and how we could create greater value in the world around us.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, solo entrepreneurs that are watching this are saying, well, I'm not leading anybody. You're leading yourself. You're leading your customers. You're leading your family. You take these qualities that we're probably going to, you know, highlight quite a bit on this podcast and you apply it in life. You're going to get podcast interviews, speaking gigs, partnership opportunities. Leadership is something that I think we all admire. And so when did it come to you? Why did you sit down and write a book about, you know, elevating the being, as you say, and focusing on leadership? What made you want to write this book?
Yeah, well, I guess let me even tap into my own entrepreneurship journey, if that's okay, because
absolutely.
I used to be somebody who never wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Wow. How dare you say that on this podcast?
Well, here's the reason why is because I was scared, right? I just saw, that's a hassle. There's a lot of risk. I don't want to put my, and part of this comes from how I was raised. My dad was actually an entrepreneur and his business, he went out of business in the economic downturn of the early 1980s. And that affected him and that affected our family. And I was kind of raised to think you never want to be an entrepreneur because you never want to be in a position of like letting your family down. So that's kind of how I was raised. And I carried this fear with me. And I just realized it was about 7 years ago that my life was not where I wanted it to be or where I expected it to be at that age. I kind of woke up. I was like, I had bigger dreams for my life.
At what age?
And so, sorry, say that again.
At what age?
So 33.
Is
I was like, part of this was, so a little bit of backstory. I'm a professor at Cal State Fullerton, a leadership professor. And I took the job at Cal State Fullerton. I was here for 2 years. And then I was like, I think I want to try my hand at consulting. So I took a leave of absence and I took a job with a consulting company called Gallup. And after 10 months, I got fired. And for me, this was a wake up call because it was like, oh crap. Like, and so I decided to come back almost sheepishly back to the university and okay, I'm going to be a professor, and here's where it all changed is I started to do some of the deep inner work on myself to rise above my fears. And I decided I'm going to shoot for the stars. I'm going to go after my dreams, even if that's uncomfortable. And at that time I was thinking, well, I want to write a book. That's going to be a part of me accomplishing my goals. But I didn't know how to write a book. And as I look into it, effectively, what I learned was if you're like 95% of authors, you really don't make money from your book, but you make money from the consulting or whatever it is that comes as a result of having a book. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, well, I want to write a book. And I think I've got a good idea. But that also means that I have to start a business. I have to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I had to just, you know, I had to rise above my fears. And ultimately I took out a $50,000 home equity line of credit to be able to fund my book. And I spent more than that on my book, but I took it out and to get it out into the world and to start my business. And it scared the crap out of me to do that. And now I'm sitting here 7 years later thinking, I'm so glad that I did that. Like, I now feel like I'm living my dreams.
Wow.
And so my journey of going from a place of fear and self-protection to a place of value creation that's what this book, The Elevated Leader, is all about, is how does somebody do that? How do you go from a place of fear and self-protection to living your dreams while creating value for the people that you want to serve?
It's awesome, man. So a ground zero moment puts you on the right path, right? It was sort of a fortuitous firing that made you think, have a little bit of introspection, and that made you get a little bit more clear on who you wanted to become, right? And the person you wanted to build. And I always say that, like, when the train goes off the tracks, that's maybe God's intervention saying, all right, now let's build the right train on the right tracks, because you might have hit a brick wall, but life happens for you, not to you. So this is the time where you can burn away all the bullshit that you're telling yourself and rebuild yourself the right way.
Yeah. And here's the thing is, and we call this what is called a heat experience. What we know is to go from, if we're living at this level down here, a lower level, to living life at a higher altitude, we actually need a heat experience. But a heat experience isn't enough, right? A lot of people have been fired from their jobs and haven't gone on to write books and live their dreams, whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
So it's more than just a heat experience. We need to actually change our paradigms. We need to change our mindsets. And we need to leverage that experience to do so. But it also doesn't need to be something that happens to us, right? I got fired. That was like something that happened to me. A lot of people, you know, contract cancer or whatever, other bad things happen, and that happens to them. But what we can also do is we could create our own internal heat experience. And that's the purpose of the Elevated Leader here. So the basic idea of the book is that there's two different ways to develop ourselves. One way is called horizontal development, and another way is called vertical development. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Mike. Have you ever heard of vertical development?
That was going to be that. I had that written down to ask you. I have no idea what vertical development is. So no.
Right. So, and that's most people. And it's a fairly new term. It was coined about 10 years ago, but the ideas behind it go back to the 1960s in the field of developmental psychology. So here's what we've learned is there's two different ways we could develop ourselves. One way is called horizontal development. That's adding knowledge, skills, and abilities to us. Mm-hmm. Right. So you are now a rather prolific podcaster, right? You have developed the knowledge, skills, and abilities to do a podcast. That's awesome, right? Horizontal development is like adding an app onto our iPad. It broadens the things that we can do. So you, I don't have a podcast. You have a podcast. You have the podcast app on your iPad. I don't have that on my iPad, right? So that's something that you could utilize in your business. And horizontal development is great. And it's the vast majority of all development that we engage in is horizontal development. Think about our education systems, our athletic programs, our organizational development. All of our college classes, essentially, our high school classes, were all horizontal development, adding apps onto our iPad.
And that means basically that you become more of a well-rounded individual, right? And so you have more skills, maybe more resources, but you can serve more people or potentially have more skill sets to serve people at different levels at different stages. Is that right? Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah. And I'll take it in just yes. And so it can make us well-rounded, or we could also be incredibly sharp, right? You could have the best podcast app out of anybody out there in the world, and everybody's going to want to come to you because you're so sharp with that app, right?
Mastery.
LeBron James is really sharp when it comes to playing basketball, when it comes to playing you know, pickleball. I don't know. So we are intimately familiar with horizontal development, but there's vertical development. And here's why this is important, because, for example, I could learn how to do a podcast, but does that improve my capacity to navigate change, pressure, uncertainty, and stress? Does that improve my ability to lead others? No, not really. Right? If we want that, we shouldn't be focusing on adding apps to our iPad. We should actually be focusing on upgrading our internal operating system. And that's what vertical development is all about. It's about upgrading our internal operating system so that we become more capable of navigating the complexity of our world around us. We're not reactive. We're now like, so this was my shift, right? As I went from being a fearful person who didn't want to be an entrepreneur to somebody who's willing to wade into fear to accomplish goals and dreams, et cetera. That's an example. That's not an app download, right? I didn't download an app to do that. I upgraded my internal operating system.
And that
Does that
means,
make sense? That yeah, vertical so, development?
So it makes me think of my belief in maybe $100,000 was a lot of money back in the day. And then I realized maybe that's not so much money. And then $1 million, well, maybe that's not that much money, right? So like it's like a thermostat that you're setting, and it's your ability to manage risk, maybe have a different perspective of what wealth really is, what freedom really is. So are you saying that it's the mindset on what is possible, who you are? It's basically the self-awareness factor and even the perspective on how far you can take this vessel of yours. Is that how you could classify it?
Yeah. So I'm going to say yes. And then we're going to dive into the details of that, if that's okay. So
please do. Yeah.
It as we vertically develop, one of the benefits is it enhances our load carrying capacity. And that's kind of what you're alluding to.
Yeah.
But here's what in my mind was really insightful for me. And again, this is what the book is all about, is the concepts behind vertical development come from the field of developmental psychology. And developmental psychologists have largely studied child development because we could see children develop right before our eyes. And what we know is that children go through a number of different stages as they go from infancy to adulthood. And they do so rather automatically. So we know that. Well, in the 1960s, a select few developmental psychologists started to ask the question, can adults develop? And if so, do they have different adult development stages? And what they found is really fascinating. They found that, yes, adults can develop, and there are different adult development stages. Mm-hmm. But what they also found is that most adults never develop in adulthood.
Oh, yeah, I can attest. I've seen people hit a certain plateau in life and they stay the same person for the rest of their life.
Yeah. So we've got these three levels. And so if it's okay, let's walk through those levels and, you know, the listeners can kind of start to introspect, where am I at in terms of my vertical altitudes? Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that sounds great, man. And like you just said, it's a, I mean, it makes me think of a Jordan Peterson quote/philosophy that, you know, when you put yourself in new situations, parts of your brain potentially light up for the very first time. This is why individuals get into jujitsu, or maybe they try something new for the very first time at 50 years old. They feel like a beginner. And all of a sudden, parts of their brain light up either for the first time or for the first time in a long time. So this is whenever you can start to develop as a person because you're putting yourself into new environments. Anyways, sorry to cut you off there. It made me think of that while you were speaking.
No, and that's a really valuable nugget, because what we know about our vertical development is it's all about refining and upgrading our body's nervous system. So when you talk about neuroconnections, that's a key component of our entire nervous system. So you're putting us on the right track, which is awesome. So let me walk you through these three different levels. I use the terminology mind 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0, because these at each level, our body is wired to fulfill different needs. So as we go up from one level, we actually shift our needs, and you'll get a sense of what that means here in a second. So in mind 1.0, Our body's internal operating system is programmed to fulfill the needs of safety, comfort, and belonging. We want to stand in, right? We want to join groups that help us to feel safe, comfortable, and like we belong. So when we're here, and we've all been here, whether we're here or not, where we'll join a group, that could be a family, friend group, social group, religious group, employer, whatever that might be. And we kind of step into that group and we say, I don't want to take charge. But if you tell me what to do, I will gladly go and do it, provided you keep me safe, comfortable, and feeling like I belong. Right? This was me prior to becoming an entrepreneur. I didn't want to be an entrepreneur because my body was wired for safety, comfort, and belonging. Then, for me, I had my heat experience that caused me to, I've got to change. And I go through the effort of upgrading. And as we move into mind 2.0, the needs we are wired to fulfill are to stand out, advance, and get ahead. In fact, we now become willing to be uncomfortable, unsafe, and not belong in order to stand out, advance, and get ahead. And that's where I was like, I've got goals, I've got dreams, I've got to hit those. And as we make this shift, we move from a dependent thinker. Instead of saying, you tell me what to do, we become an independent thinker. I know what to do.
Got it.
I've got the answers, right? That's why I wanted to write a book, because I was like, I've got some ideas that I want to put out there in the world. And I want a book out there because it's going to help me stand out, advance, and get ahead.
Now, real quick, that heat experience that you have, I would assume, is obviously the variable that most likely people they face themselves. But it does kind of make sense just by you connecting the dots here that self-preservation mode was, all right, let me just stay here. I'm safe. I'm good to go. I'll play by the rules. I'll do what they say. As long as I'm good, we're good, right? But then you realize that that still leads to failure. And then you say to yourself, I played by their rules and I still failed. And I still am not, and I'm still full of fear. I must be doing something wrong. So therefore I must change and get into the driver's seat rather than be in the passenger seat. So is that it? It's basically once you realize one pathway only gets you so far, but keeps you stuck, that is the only time that you will make the transition over to mind 2.0, right?
Yeah, spot on, right? So in my mind, in my experience, the entrepreneurs who fail are people who are in mind 1.0 and never make the leap to mind 2.0 because their need for safety always holds them back from making the investments necessary to grow their business.
Yep, they play it safe, right? This happens. Yep. So mind 1.0, let's just say you're a multimillionaire. You could still end up in mind 1.0 is what you're saying.
Yeah, yep.
Yep, there you go. Okay.
All right, so that's mind 2.0. Rather than standing in, we want to stand out. So mind 3.0 here, and well, let me give you some percentages. 64% of people operate primarily in mind 1.0. 35% of people get to mind 2.0. And it's only 1% of people that get to mind 3.0.
Say that again, just so I have it as the clip.
Yeah, 64, mind 1.0, 64%, 35% get to mind 2.0, and only 1% get to mind 3.0.
All right.
So that's where we're going next, mind 3.0. So again, mind 1.0, I want to stand in. Mind 2.0, I want to stand out. And mind 3.0, we don't care about standing in or standing out. Our body is wired to fulfill the needs of contributing, adding value, and lifting others.
Hmm.
And as we make this shift, we move from a dependent thinker to an independent thinker. Now at Mind 3.0, we become an interdependent thinker. We're willing to take in a wider variety of perspectives. We don't think that we have all of the right answers, and we're willing to work with others to create value for others. So this is not about, again, not about me anymore. And that's the big shift. Is we're not wired for ourselves, either standing in or standing out. We're now wired to create value for others.
Man, it's making me think of the hero's journey. Are you familiar with Joseph Campbell's analysis?
Yeah.
Well, guys, if you're not familiar with it, we talk a lot about it on this podcast, but the hero's journey is basically three stages, right? There's the normal world, the ordinary world for the character, and you're safe. You're in the Shire of the Lord of the Rings. And then you go into stage two, which is basically the scary world where you face the dragons and you find your allies, you meet your enemies, you slay dragons. But there's a final stage to the hero's journey where you now have to go back to the ordinary world and serve them with what you have learned throughout your journey, right? You transformed. Now you have to help other people transform. And this is where you write the books. You start to share your message and help others get to where you were able to get to. So that sounds very similar to one, yeah, two, and three minds.
There's a reason why that resonates so strongly is because that's what we find is the trajectory of adult development and the different stages of adult development. So having that framework can help people to have the internal heat experience of asking the questions, well, where am I at? What is my altitude? And then how do I level up to the next level up and even higher?
So you have to take inventory of what you're thinking, what you're doing. And so you have to enact, like you said, these heat experiences, right? So you never become comfortable. I think comfort really does crush people. Maybe that's what keeps people stuck, right? They hit a level of comfort. I'm good to go. I'm okay. I don't need to push myself. And they just stay there for the rest of their life. So comfort does kill dreams. And so what you're saying is that anytime you feel comfort, maybe you need to turn up the temperature or create some type of new environment in your life so you transform because of the heat. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. And let me phrase it just slightly differently. So I think we're saying the same thing. Here's what I've learned for myself and in working with others is that if we want to go higher, what we've actually got to do is we've got to go deeper inward. We've got to deepen our self-awareness. And we all have self-protective tendencies and associated fears that are holding us back. And vertical development, the process of vertical development is ultimately about awakening to those self-protective tendencies and those fears and rising above those. So it's not just, so when you say get into a place of discomfort, we actually need to do that almost systematically in terms of let's identify a self-protective fear that you have. Now let's get uncomfortable with that. Mm-hmm. Let's step into that. Let's start to push against our limiting beliefs. And the more that we push against them, the more we find that they fall over. And then we rise above. And then we've got to go hunt after another limiting belief or self-protective fear and its associated limiting belief. And if we could do that in a systematic manner, then what we're doing is we're not waiting for the world around us to kind of give us the heat experiences. We're to use your terminology, which I love, is we're putting ourselves in the driver's seat in our own development journey.
Hmm. And I guess the way to go deeper, my thought is you need to be around high-level thinkers. You need to listen to high-level thinkers. I know that Jordan Peterson allowed me to understand myself at such a level that I was never able to do so prior. So reading, right? Personal development, trying new things out. I guess what other ways can people go deeper? Because you start to ask yourself scarier and scarier questions. And maybe some of the answers are just as scary. And maybe some people don't ask the questions because they're afraid of the answer. But maybe part of this going deeper aspect is ask yourself bigger and better questions. Is that right?
Spot on. And I'm going to give just a kind of, that's a big umbrella. Let me focus on a niche within that umbrella. What I haven't done is I haven't given us a technical definition of vertical development. So let me do that because it'll lay the foundation. The technical definition of vertical development is elevating our ability to make meaning of our world in more cognitively and emotionally sophisticated ways. So let me unpack that. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question, Mike. How would you say most people respond to constructive criticism?
I would say most people struggle with it. They get defensive. Most people.
Right. Right. So what they're doing. So the key words in the definition is making meaning with different levels of cognitive and emotional sophistication. So when people get defensive, they're putting up a shield. They're making meaning of that constructive criticism as an attack and therefore they get defensive. Mm-hmm. But then we got to ask ourselves, is that cognitively and emotionally sophisticated? Yeah, I don't think so. Right? The next level up might be this. It might be an attack. It kind of depends on who delivers it and how they deliver it. Right? If it's my boss and they deliver it tactfully, great. If it's my spouse and they don't deliver it tactfully, they're sitting on the couch or sleeping on the couch, right? Yeah. That's a little bit more cognitively and emotionally sophisticated. But at the highest level, the most vertically developed people, when they receive constructive criticism, they create the space to wonder, is there something to this that I could benefit from? I mean, it could come from their worst enemy who is malintended, and they still create that space. And so this is just a quick example of how people can experience the same thing, but make meaning of it in three different ways with different levels of cognitive and emotional sophistication. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that depending on where I was at in my former life, if you will, anytime I felt criticism, I would always take no accountability. I would never really say it's my fault. Oh, it's this person's fault. I would say, oh, that's that. No, don't blame me. You got to put it on. But the moment I started to take accountability for everything, my thoughts, my actions, my bank account, every decision I've ever made from that point forward, my life got better, but people started to trust me more. So it was maturity that helped me rise the ranks. And I guarantee that came from being an entrepreneur, because at some point you realize that everything is your fault as an entrepreneur, or depending on how you handle it, it could be because of you that it does succeed. So taking accountability changed everything based off of my career path. Right. And so once I was in the driver's seat of my business completely, mentally, spiritually, financially, I noticed great results, but it was painful, and people stay away from this, probably this rise, because it is extremely painful to take criticism after criticism and adjust and look into the mirror and say, most of you, if you really want to become successful, man in the mirror, most of you has to die. And most people don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, so let me put a word on what you experienced is what you at a simplest level is your shift was a change in mindset.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And so it's valuable to recognize that, because when we understand that, we're talking about making meaning of our world. What are our meaning makers? Our body's meaning makers are our mindsets, the mental lenses that we wear that shape how we see the world around us. So if we want to vertically develop, if we want to rise up, we've got to shift our mindsets. We've got to upgrade our mindsets. So that partly means awakening to our mindsets. And then once we identify the mindsets that are more self-protective, we can identify better mindsets to have. So let me give you an example. And this, you know, relates to my journey. I would say that before becoming an entrepreneur, I had a prevention mindset. I was more focused on avoiding problems and risks than I was what's called a promotion mindset, which is focused on reaching goals and fulfilling a purpose. And so it wasn't until I made the shift from a prevention mindset to a promotion mindset that I then was like, oh my goodness, now that I'm more focused on a goal, on a purpose, I had the ability to say, I'm rising above any discomfort in the moment in order to hit my goals. Mm. And a tool, I would say a tool that I use to help me shift from a prevention mindset to a promotion mindset. And in my book, I talk about four different sets of mindsets. Prevention and promotion is one of those four sets. But about this time, where just after I'd gotten fired, I met a CEO of an organization here in Orange County, California. And he handed me this book. So I'm showing this book. It's called The 5-Minute Journal. And he hands this to me. He says, this book will change your life. And outwardly, I'm very like, you know, gracious. Oh, thank you. I love books. This is awesome. But inwardly, I'm thinking, who the hell do you think I am? There is no way that I am going to journal. Like that was my mentality. And I got home to my office And I literally went to throw it away. And I had one of these, I don't know, epiphanies, spiritual experiences, where I saw this guy's face in my mind's eye, like over my shoulder. And I heard him say in my ear, "This book will change your life." And I'm like, mid like going to throw it away, I stopped and I said, "Oh, maybe I should try this out." So I said, "I'm going to give it 2 weeks. And if it makes a difference, awesome. I'll keep doing it. But if it doesn't make a difference, it's going in the trash." I've now been doing this for the last 6 years, every day.
Way to go. Mentor, I guess your ally that gave you this gift of maybe clarity.
So every day, here's what it had me do. It had an inspirational quote up here at the top. And then what are three things you're grateful for? What are three things that would make today great? And fill in a self-affirmation. Then at the end of the day, what are three amazing things that happened today? And how could I have made today even better? And as I started to do this every day, what I was doing is I was exercising, coming back to our neural connections, I was exercising and strengthening my promotion mindset neural connections. And I was weakening my prevention mindset neural connections. Because now I'm starting to focus not on how can I get through today as easy as possible. Now, every morning I'm starting my day thinking, how am I going to make today great? And at the end of the day, I needed to hold myself accountable. What was amazing today? What did I do that was amazing? And by doing this, over the course of about a month, I shifted from this prevention to a promotion mindset. And it was after that that I was like, all right, I'm starting a business. Like, that's what I'm going to do. I've got to do it. Because if I want to do amazing things, that's got to be a part of my journey. So I don't care how uncomfortable this is going to be for me. I've got to do it. I've got no other options. That's my plan of attack. So as I shifted my mindsets, then as we shift our mindsets, we vertically develop.
And do you think this is in relation to how as you age, you stop dreaming, right? You focus on what's in front of you, pay the bills, all right, mow the lawn, all right, go to the grocery store, and you stop thinking about the big picture. And so as you started to do this and articulate your thoughts down on a piece of paper, you started to maybe think bigger and bigger, further out, dream a little bit more, right? And so you had more of the philosophy of let me dream the painting and then eventually let's paint the dream. And so maybe you were asking yourself what you wanted to do, how you want to be remembered for the very first time in a long time. So do you think that was it? Am I simplifying it to some degree?
Well, I think you're onto it, right? So as we think about those three vertical development levels, the people in Mind 1.0, another characteristic is they largely operate in a mode of reactivity. Mind 2.0 people, they become more intentional for the short term. Right. I want to hit this goal. I want to hit this milestone. Yes. I want to get there. And it's just not a long term. It's generally not a long term perspective. It's about that next goal, that next milestone. The Mind 3.0 are focused on creating value, not in the short term, but in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, so as I think about my journey, my first book, Success Mindsets, I wrote that from a Mind 2.0 perspective. I want to stand out. And in fact, one of the investments that I made was an investment to help ensure my book hit the Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller list, right? Because I wanted to stand out. With this book, The Elevated Leader, I'm not saying I spend 100% of my time in Mind 3.0. I've got to love it. My philosophy is that we're never fully baked, and I could surely spend some more time in the oven. But this book, The Elevated Leader, I wrote this from a very different place that felt much closer to Mind 3.0 than 2.0. It wasn't about me standing out anymore. It was about me creating value for my audience.
I don't know if you could speed it up. You bring up a very good analogy. There are certain things that just take time to simmer, right? In order to make a meal, you can't speed up a great, a certain dish, whatever it is, a steak. It takes a little bit of time to cook to the right degree and all that. So you can't speed it up. And therefore you have to bake in it for enough for you to become the person that is required for the next level. So that's different for everybody, right? But you still need to look at that as the cost of doing business, the price you need to pay in order to become the next version of yourself, right? It could be an afternoon, but most likely it could be a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, and that varies.
Yeah. So what we know about vertical development is you can't skip stages. You have to proceed through them. Vertical development is a lifelong journey. We're never done. But the speed by which we develop really is contingent upon how much work and investment we put into ourselves.
So what have you done with the new you that we see today? What have you done with it? I'm assuming now that you have more courage to do podcasts, speaking gigs, you know, you could set an example. Individuals notice you now, like they see a difference as who you used to be, right? How you responded, how you're more proactive, maybe how you face things that you're not good at and you face them head on. But I'm assuming individuals around you have noticed the leadership qualities probably growing over the past 5-10 years. Am I right? So it's the marketplace sensing it in you.
Yeah. So you may have opened up more than you wanted to, but I think it's, you know, this is going to be real and it's going to be authentic. So I, one of the things that I've done in the last 3 years that I feel, honestly, I feel like I've grown more in the last 3 years than my entire adult life. And this is coming from where I was kind of entrenched in mind 2.0. And there's some other things kind of going on in my life that just weren't where I wanted them to be. Like my marriage wasn't quite where I wanted it to be. You know, how things were going with my kids wasn't quite where I wanted it to be. And I decided to seek out, I kind of read a book that inspired me to seek out a therapist. I call up a therapist and I kind of said, well, I don't really have any trauma in my background, but I imagine you can help me out. And I'm sure she's like laughing, you know, on the other side of the phone. And she's like, yeah, sure. We could always help you out. Get over any blocks that you have. This is great. So I started working with a therapist and we were focused on a therapy modality that's called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And as we started to do this, I mean, honestly, I looked at my childhood at that time and I thought I had a good childhood. My parents stayed married. My parents went to every basketball game I ever played in. But what she helped me to see for the first time, I'd never seen it before, that, and there was a couple of key episodes that we identified in my childhood, but what we identified was that while my parents were always there for me physically, they were never there for me emotionally.
Wow.
That as a child, I was emotionally neglected. And that has impacted my body's nervous system to the degree that I'm self-protective around certain things. Like I'm a very independent person because ultimately I've kind of was raised in an environment where I didn't feel like I could trust anybody to be there for me. And of course, okay, if I'm bringing this level of independence to a relationship and I'm keeping walls up between me and others because I can't really trust them, oh, well, you know, if my marriage isn't the way I want it to be, maybe I'm playing a role in that. And so over the course of the last 3 years, I've been diving into doing this trauma therapy to heal from my past trauma. And here's what I've learned going through the process is when we talk about vertical development, we've already said it's connected to our body's nervous system. Trauma is something that disrupts our body's nervous system. And at the end of the day, vertical development is ultimately about healing. It's about healing our minds, our bodies, and our hearts. And taking that jump, because I, you know, as I feel like I've articulated, I was able to take a certain jump up on my own, like doing stuff like with the 5-minute journal that helped me shift my mindsets. But I wouldn't have been able to do the work that I've done in the last 3 years without the help of somebody else. And in my case, I needed a therapist. Not everybody needs that. But I think generally we get to a place where we need a guide, a mentor, a therapist, somebody to kind of help us shepherd us further into that process and heal ourselves so that we could bring the more authentic, real version of ourselves. So I think about, you know, you kind of ask, like, are you a better leader than what you were? Yeah, because I'm able to own my shit in my past. And I feel like I've done a lot of work to rise above it. And in that process, one of the biggest benefits for me, and this is an aspect about vertical development, is I believe I become a much more empathetic person. Because I've connected more with my pain, I think I could connect better with other people's pains, and I'm willing to. Whereas before, I would resist that pain. So empathy is a vertical development characteristic. Vulnerability, patience, authenticity, emotional intelligence, right? Those are all vertical development characteristics that only come about as we elevate our mindsets and refine our body's nervous system.
Mm. Great way to put it. And you made me think of, you know, whenever I healed my mindset, I guess you could say, and maybe we're always healing or fixing things, but those who are in a state of abundance seem to be their true self, right? They give, they're helpful, they're not under pressure, they're not making decisions out of fear. They're just being themselves because, hey, I'll give you money because I know that there's more coming tomorrow. And so it's like the person who is, so I'll give you an idea of what I went through. Whenever I was in severe debt and I was $300,000 into debt, and I know that's not that much compared to others, but $300,000 in personal debt, I wasn't able to truly help people until I cleared that. And then I felt like, wow, you know what? I'm not in desperation mode as much. So therefore I can be my true self. So fixing myself financially and mentally and spiritually, I didn't think I really had a great connection with God until 2017. There was a real relationship built. I felt it was the first time I ever thought of a relationship with God. And it was like, once I've healed that, then it was, oh my God, I have enough. I am enough. Wait a second. I can make decisions much more clearly, much more from the heart than doing it for the short-term gains of, let me just get this sale. Let me just get here. Let me get her to say yes to this date. And once you realize, like, once you're healed, I don't care if you say yes or no, I'm good enough. I'm good to go as I am right now. And that's the true authentic self, which then it's wild how the world opens up to people like that. Abundance starts coming your way because individuals sense that you have healed yourself and you are enough as is. So therefore, if you are not broken, hell, I want to be along for the ride. Am I onto something with that? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, you're spot on. So let me point out two things that you said. One is the most vertically developed people have this unique capacity to create space in their life, right? And it's for anything. They create space for giving, for getting.
Yeah.
They create space for problems, for mistakes, for failures, for successes, for celebration, for work, for family. They just have this unique capacity to create space for everything, which is real ultimately that abundant mindset. And then also, as you talk about your journey, I mean, man, like $300,000 in debt, that's, you know, that's no small thing for most of us. And I'm willing to bet that in order for you to, and I would say this to kind of anybody who find themselves in that position, if we want to get out of debt, we can't maintain the mindsets and the vertical altitude that got us into that place. If we want to get out of that, we've got to vertically develop and we've got to shift our mindsets to something at a higher level. And once we do that, then we get out of it. So we got to fix ourselves before we fix that stuff. And I imagine that's been a part of your journey.
Oh, damn right. And it's almost as if what got you here will keep you here. So exactly. You need to be different. And you've said something before that you can connect with people at a much higher level now because of you have more empathy. It's wild how your mess becomes your message, right? What you went through helps you bond with other people that have gone or are going through the exact same thing. And therefore you can mentor them. You can relate to them and you can actually inspire them because they see you as one of their own. So yeah, not by accident. It's great.
So the core message, I mean, everything we've really been talking about is if we want to level up in terms of what we're doing in our world, what the impact that we're having, the success of our business, whatever it might be, if we want to level up that, we've got to start with ourselves, right? If we level up ourselves, then all of that will take care of itself.
Damn, we could talk for hours. You know that, Ryan. We could talk about anything psychological or spiritual. Oh, man, get me, you know, just get me a fire, you know, some hot chocolate. Let's talk for hours, man, because or just, you know, anything with Jordan Peterson philosophy, leadership qualities, because the more you know yourself, it's very much like the self-actualization that happens in Maslow's hierarchy. Once you self-actualize, that's the most important piece. So few ever do. And you realize that's the gold, right? People never self-actualize because they focus on survival mechanisms and they focus only on maybe getting to a point where it's a little further than those around them. And so when you self-actualize, you realize who you are 100% to your core and what you want to be remembered for. And so nothing else really matters outside of that. Oh, it's good. Yeah. Great stuff, man. Outside of the book, is there a way for you to, you know, get in touch or for people to get in touch with you? Is there a social media channel that you're on that you're very active with or a website that you recommend?
Yeah. So best place is my website. So it's ryangottfredson.com. In fact, I've got two different self-assessments there that people can take. One of them is a vertical development assessment to help them awaken to their vertical altitude. And then the second one is a personal mindset assessment to kind of gauge the quality of your mindsets. And it's like, for me, it's eye-opening. So go there, take those assessments. If you want to follow me on social media, I'm on all accounts, but I'm most active on LinkedIn.
Beautiful. I think that's how I found you, is LinkedIn. So the website, guys, is Ryan Godfredson. That's GOTTFREDSON.com. Personal mindset assessment is ryangodfredson.com/personal-mindset-assessment. And you have all kinds of stuff here. So it's easy to find you. Just Google his name. And yes, he's all over social media, YouTube and X. So Ryan, this has been so much fun to talk with you about this stuff. Because
for sure,
I think people need it more now than ever. 2020 woke a lot of people up that maybe they've been in the system. They haven't thought about who they are and what they want. And maybe a lot of people have finally, you know, cracked the code and said, all right, let's go to mindset 2.0 now. And people are on the journey, I think, because of what happened 4 years ago.
I think so. I think I've heard it called the mindfulness revolution. And I think that there's something to that. And that's why we know more about this stuff than ever before, right? Even in the last 5 years, it's just all the neuroscience research that's going on behind the scenes that we haven't talked about is just unreal. And there's something to this. So yeah, love, if I could support anybody else out there in this, would love to do so. And you know, it's always fun talking with people like you. I kind of call it being a mindset junkie. So Mike, yeah. Thanks for being a mindset junkie for us to talk about this. Like you said, we could do it all day.
Yeah. So it's funny. I'll go on dates now with girls and I'll be like, hey, can we just talk about Jordan Peterson all day? Can we just do that? I don't care where you're from. I don't care what, you know, let's just talk about psychology. Can we do that? Yep. Doesn't get me too far, but anyway, it's still fun. Guys, the book is called The Elevated Leader. I love what you said there. The mindfulness revolution. God, I agree with that. It's happening. And the subtitle for his book is Level Up Your Leadership Through Vertical Development. Ryan Godfredson, thanks so much for being here, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Remember, guys, a $1 million book will lead to a $1 million life. Right on.